Eat to save your life, not just to lose some weight, but to keep that fat from actually killing you. All this and more today on episode 80 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello and welcome to Fat to Fit Radio. So Russ, I'm sure all of our listeners were waiting to hear, did you break down into the 220s for the first time?
Well, wait no further. Yes, I did. 229.7 was my weigh-in this morning. And that's only 0.7 pounds from the last show, but it does get me down under 230, which I can't remember when. Really, it's been probably 20 years. Oh, close to, since I've been under 230 pounds. So big, big week here.
Well, that is amazing progress. Now, I was expecting a little more weight loss than that, but I'm not going to complain because this is a milestone for you. But how are your goals over the last week or so?
Yeah, so my eating goals, this is where I think my problem lies. The eating goals, I'm going to give about a 3 out of 10. I have not been doing the best here on my eating goals, but I think I did lose that 0.7 pounds because of my exercise goals. I am doing my Couch to 5K program. I did sign up for a 5K race here coming up on Thanksgiving Day at 7:30 in the morning. So if you ever anybody in the area wants to join me, I'll leave a link on the website. And so because of that, my motivation, just because I'm not seeing that great weight loss, I'm going to say it's probably about a 5 out of 10.
So what are your goals for this 5K turkey trot? What's the time you want to try and get under?
Way back in high school and first couple of years of college, I did a 10K and I did a 10K and it was 45 minutes around, it was about a 7:40 minute mile. So I was in extreme good shape then. So I'm looking to do about 10 and a half, I'm going to think.
Well, let's say you're going to do it in 30 minutes because you'll have all the extra adrenaline too. So that'll make it a little bit easier to get under 30 minutes. What do you say?
Yeah, you know, I've already got two individuals that I went to high school and junior high with, and they're going to run with me. So it's going to be a very interesting time there on Thanksgiving Day.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing results. But let's move into our email and comment section.
All right. And the first one comes in from Rocky.
And she wrote, I am a 34-year-old mother of two and weigh 150 pounds. I was wondering about the amount of water that you should drink a day. I keep hearing that you should drink 8 to 10 8-ounce glasses a day. This can sometimes be a bit much, especially when you have a weak bladder. What does water do, and how does it help in weight loss?
All right, so I saw this email come in from Rocky, and I thought, no, it's a good time to do some research on this. So I went over to PubMed and looked up water and weight loss, and I found a study here that was published in November of 2008 that concluded, yes, it does, and here's a little snippet from the results page. Absolute and relative increases in drinking water were associated with significant loss of body weight and fat independent of covariates. So according to here this published medical research paper, yes, if you drink more water, you will lose more weight and body fat. So that's good news. And the second question was, how much water should you drink? Now, we've all heard that number 8 to 10 8-ounce glasses of water a day. But you know, where does that come from? Now, I found an article over at the Mayo Clinic that had some information here that, yes, the 8 to 10 ounces was kind of a rule, but it was actually 8 to 10 ounces of fluid a day, not particularly water. That was just kind of a rule of thumb. There's also the replacement approach that if you urinate about 6.3 cups a day, you should also input that much. You're also going to lose it through sweating and breathing. And so should 8 cups is about right. And also you should increase your water intake if you're exercising, if your environment says you should, if it's really warm or outside or inside or there's real dry. If you're ill or you have other health conditions, like if you're vomiting, obviously you want to drink more water, keep those fluids up. Or if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, your water requirements are going to go up. But, you know, in general, it looks like that 8 to 10 glasses of water is just about right.
Well, that's pretty interesting. Now, that article that you linked to from the Mayo Clinic gives a lot of factors of when you should drink more and when you should drink less. But I did a little research, and this old advice about drinking 8 glasses of water per day, I actually found where it first came from, the first recommendation, and it found out that it's really not so true. The original recommendation came back from the Nutrition Board of the National Research Council way back in 1945, and they are the ones that have been quoted ever since then. What seems to have been forgotten after the line that says you should drink 8 to 10 glasses of water per day, that they said most of this quantity is contained in the foods that are prepared. So when you take that out, it makes it sound like you have to drink so much more. But the fluid and the water in your soups and breads and everything that you drink and eat has fluid in it, so you don't really need to have that much fluid. But take a look at the Mayo Clinic, because they have some really good advice. But I just think that is funny how some advice back from 1945, people omitted that most of the quantity is in the foods you eat already that you need, and people forgot about that for all of these years. But of course, we have the first study that shows that you drink more water, it does help in weight loss. So I guess it doesn't hurt if you drink a little extra water per day. It's only going to help in your weight loss.
All right, well, let's get on to our number two item here in our email from Jason. And he wrote here, I recently found your podcast and I'm completely hooked. I'm 34 years old and February of this year found myself pushing 390 disgusting pounds. I decided to change my life before my obesity killed me. I read and watched everything that I could get my hands on and learned how to eat and exercise correctly. I joined a gym 3 months ago and go there 3 days a week. I am now 309 pounds and my goal is below 300 by Thanksgiving. I don't have an overall weight goal. I just plan on eating healthy and working out for the rest of my life and see where that gets me. My question for you guys is about Propel or any brand of water packets. I can't stand drinking plain water, but I manage to drink around 70 ounces a day with flavor packets. I usually buy the individual bottle flavor packets and add them to my bottles of water throughout the day. Propel brand is the one I like best. They are 10 calories per packet, and I usually use 5 or 6 a day, which 50 to 60 calories isn't bad, and I count them in my daily total.
I know they have sugars and sucralose, but isn't getting lots of water more important? I've read that the water packets are the same as diet soda, but I don't believe that to be true. Are they safe, or should I just suck it up and drink plain water? Thanks, guys, and keep up the great show.
So we talked about a little about water in the previous question, but obviously here, water is better. If you have an extra 50 to 60 calories in your diet to spare, and at around 300 pounds, I'm guessing that you do, then go for it. If it gets you drinking more water, all the better. But I would suggest you try to wean yourself off the packets. Go for only water for one bottle in four, and then three, and then every other bottle you drink is just water. And then go the other way. Have one flavor packet every three bottles, then one every four, until you're just having them once in a while. That way, you know, you're still getting that taste, but you're getting used to drinking just water. I think, you know, people get used to the flavor, always having a diet soda or, you know, some kind of juice or some kind of flavor enhancement. And, you know, it's not necessary. You know, a nice glass of cold water will do you just fine.
That's right. And it's all about good, better, and best choices. Sure, drinking the flavor packets isn't the total best choice, but it's better than drinking a sugary soda for sure. And ultimately, people aren't going to eat perfectly healthy and exercise perfect for the rest of their lives. You have to have balance and things that will work for you and be the most healthy for you that you can live with. That's the only way you're going to do this for a lifetime.
Right. You know, you want to aim for what? 90% compliance, and you know, you're going to get there to your goal. So keep up the good work. All right. I want to thank Rocky and Jason for their questions this week, both about water. Very interesting. If there's a question you'd like to ask us or a comment, there's a couple of ways to send that to us. The first one is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button on the website, fattofitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, now we're going to get into our feature section for the show here, and it came from the support group over at fattofitsupport.com, the Traineo group, and it's from Kevin Trong, and he had a little series of videos that he found over on YouTube.
That's right, and he wrote, "Hey fellas, just a suggestion, I think everyone should watch this video. It's featuring Jamie Oliver, and it's called Eat to Save Your Life. It talks about the general population in the EU and how so many people eat processed food. It's a good watch, and it's broken down into 8 parts. Be sure to watch the 8th part where they dissect a morbidly obese man. The overall idea of the whole show is to eat foods that are whole and minimally processed."
All right, so we're going to intersperse a little bit of our talking here with Jamie Oliver and the show. We got recorded a couple clips, just kind of keep it interesting so you can get a little idea of what the show is like.
That's right. And these clips are on YouTube, and it's broken down into 8 parts, and each part is between 8 and 10 minutes long. So it was probably a 2-hour show when it aired with commercials.
Yeah, well, let's get into it now, and we're going to let Jamie Oliver discuss what he's going to do during the show.
"Tonight, I'm going to be taking you on the most incredible journey of the human body, inside and out, with some of the best specialists in the whole world. Now, you've heard all the stuff in the press about health and the way we're sort of eating ourselves to death. Well, this is the night where you could actually eat to save your life. Check it out. I've got a challenge tonight to change the eating habits of 18 ordinary people, a sample of Britain today. Some weigh too much, while others look perfectly healthy, but they're all eating badly and don't realise the harm they're doing every mealtime.
That's right, and it takes these 18 people, and not all of them are overweight, and some are obese and some aren't, and they're just not eating healthy. And the thing that really got me at the start of the show, they started talking about how children will now live shorter lives than their parents simply because of the crap that they're now eating.
Yeah, and they're really hinting at this with also that Kevin mentioned before, that a morbidly obese man. Now, they said they're going to dissect a morbidly obese man. He's already dead. That's going to be coming up at the end of the show, and we'll describe a little bit of that. But they describe this man as actually eating himself to death, and it's really, really powerful. The guy is going to eat himself to death. The fact that he made these food choices, that's exactly what put him in the grave.
That's right. And they just say, what does a lifetime full of junk food actually do to the body? And the whole thing is trying to show people of what you can eat and the problems that happen to you throughout your life and can kill you because of what you're eating. And these are people that are really living unhealthy lives and having shorter lives simply because of what they're putting on their fork.
All right, the next clip we're going to play here is kind of talking about how things have changed over the last 50 years.
Have we all just got greedier? No. Over the last 30 years, our food has dramatically changed, and most of us have got no idea. So this is how it happened. This used to be the average shape of a British woman. But by the 50s, women started working more and more and cooking less. We wanted convenience, and the food industry gave it to us. By the 70s, the refrigerated freezer van arrived, and mass-produced food got trucked around the country. It was perfect, an accountant's dream, portion-controlled and designed to last. By the 80s, the microwave turned up, and we loved it. TV dinners took off in a big way. Salt, fat and sugar were getting crammed into our meals that we were eating every single day, and our waistlines were expanding again. In the last 50 years, our food has changed, and so have we. We've put on an average of 8.5 pounds. When the ready meal first arrived, just 1 in 10 of us was obese. Now, it's 1 in 4.
Now, for those of us who haven't heard the term ready meals, they're just talking about frozen dinners. For when they're saying that when they first came out, 1 in 10 people are obese, and now it's 1 in 4.
Right. Now, we've used the statistics that, you know, 66% are obese and or overweight. And so probably 1 in 4 in the obese is probably right, especially for England, for the European Union. But that is just a lot of people.
Another thing that I really found interesting about the show was that they talk about how food has actually changed in the last 50 years. And they talk about sausages. And you think of sausages, just all the byproducts of animals that they, you know, put through a grinder and make sausage out of. But they're saying that 50 years ago, 75 to 85% of a sausage was real meat. And now they're saying only about 32% of a sausage is actual meat. And this was really interesting for me too. I was wondering, how do they stretch this out? I mean, there's hardly any meat in it. What are they actually doing? So here's a clip that talks about that.
Very often when you got yourself a much wetter product like this, it needs help with other things. All of a sudden, because you've got less meat, you've got less flavour. So things like onion chips would go in, garlic flavouring, they really need help. Dextrose would be added to actually help make the fat, which wouldn't be as sweet as in the higher proportion meat, sweeter. So that's going to make it sweeter. Rusk, which is essentially like using the breadcrumbs, but that's going to soak up quite a lot of the
Yeah, well, it's gone a bit dry, so we need a bit of water.
So water, and that's cheap, isn't it, guys?
Yeah.
So we're stretching that product. We've got emulsifier here.
Ooh.
But basically, in short, when you've got a lower percentage meat product, sausage, burger, sausage roll, right, alarm bells should start ringing.
Well, you know, Russ, this clip really hits home for me. When I was 15 years old and had my first fast food job, this was working at a taco place, and when we would be cooking the ground beef, we'd get a 5-pound package of ground beef to fry up, and we'd also take a 6-pound package, and it looked like sawdust and spices, and you just pour it in there, so less than 50% of what you ate and what you thought was ground beef was actually meat, and it all cooked up, and it kind of soaked up all the grease and the juices, and it looked like beef, but in reality, it was just all filler.
Yeah, many years ago, around here, Taco Bell, I'm sure they have them there up in Calgary as well, but they changed their recipe on meat, and I remember they used more soy filler, That was the big thing. And also, if you look up, like, you know, what is a McDonald's hamburger made of? And you type in, you know, what is a Taco Bell taco made of meat-wise? And you get, you know, it's a little bit of meat and a lot of soy filler and spices. And that's becoming the norm, especially with people wanting cheaper and cheaper food. That's why these fillers and additives are going into our food.
And I think it all started years and years ago when people are trying to make more money, more profit out of selling meat. Now, this is probably just an urban legend, but I've heard stories where back in those festivals, you know, the fairs that would travel around the country, when they just put sawdust on the ground, they would put a lot of sawdust into the ground beef because that soaks up all of the juice and tastes and looks just like ground beef once it's cooked. Have you heard that before?
I have not heard that before, but I have not hit the carnival circuit in a while. So,
but after working at this taco place, I believe it after the stuff that we could pour in and how it came out looking like it did.
Yeah, another big thing that they talked about was the sugar content of food has gone way up. Now, as our palates have changed over time, that the manufacturers and growers, particularly even of fruits and vegetables, have now created these strains of fruits and vegetables, bananas, apples, you know, that are sweeter on our palate than they were in the past. So we're being conditioned to like sweeter and sweeter things.
That's right. And they talk about how Special K has actually doubled the sugar content in the last 30 years just to keep up with people's tastes. And this is pretty sad when the most healthiest foods have to keep increasing sugar just to be palatable to people. But I'm just thinking of another thing that really jumped out at me. They're talking about vegetarians on the show who are very unhealthy. I didn't realize there are vegetarians who never eat any vegetables. And that just seemed very silly to me. But there's people that just eat pasta and bread and all those carbohydrates, but never eat anything healthy.
Yeah, you know, I would assume a vegetarian diet is one of, you know, you eat a lot of vegetables, eat a lot of fruit, maybe some tofu, you know, edamame, whatever it is. But apparently I'm completely wrong in that. And the processed food, not just for, you know, the average diet, the normal, you know, eat meat diet, but also the vegetarians. And I guess that was a misconception on my part. But another one that was very interesting is because of that, they're not getting as much fiber. And they had a very interesting demonstration. They had a guy take his excretory output for a couple days. And then they made a simulation of what it'd be like, I believe it was 5 years. Then another representation of what they considered a healthy diet individual would excrete in a 5 year period, and then they analyzed those together. They showed them side by side, and it was a very, very marked difference.
That's right. The guy who was just eating fast food, he didn't really have any fiber in his diet, and he just wasn't producing any output, let's just say. The other person, the healthy person, was going to the bathroom maybe, I don't even know the number, 4 or 5 times more per day in size. And it wasn't, you know, diarrhea. They were just regular, proper stools, I guess is the word that you'd use. But the lack of fiber just doesn't change your excrement and make that unhealthy. But it also makes a big impact on your colon as well. They're also showing some, I guess, gross anatomy, if you think of that. What people look like who have polyps in their colon caused by a lack of fiber.
Yeah, and those polyps are termed precancerous. Those things are going to be the things that turn into cancer later on. And that lack of fiber can be a direct cause of that cancer.
I remember watching a show, it's a British show as well, it's called You Are What You Eat, and I'm not sure if it's still on, but part of that show is where the dietitian would have people basically bring in their excrement to see what it looks like, and she would look at it and say, yeah, I can tell you're eating too much grease and you're not eating enough fiber, etc. And after seeing this show, it actually kind of brings it home to you. When you hear people talking about you need to eat fiber, you know, because it's good for you, but when you actually see what unhealthy people look like from the inside because they don't eat enough fiber, I think it can really have an impact on a lot of people.
Yeah, so speaking of gross anatomy, they had this doctor, Günther von Hagens, and he's a German doctor, and they got him 3 bodies to do with what they will, you know, basically for science. And one of them is that one, that morbidly obese individual that they're going to be dissecting at the end of the show. But they had another 2 that they literally sliced frozen, I guess, and then sliced from heel to head. And they took a look at a cross-section of these individuals. And there was a marked difference between the two.
You could actually see the fat in the person's neck. You could see all the fat around their heart. And a real interesting thing is when you looked at the joints, specifically the knee joints, you could see all of the extra wear and tear right on the bone itself from carrying around all this excess weight. And that must have really hurt just to be walking around. Joints just aren't designed to carry that much weight.
All right, next, they kind of went into how people get obese. And in particular, you know, is it a fast process? Is it a slow process? And they took this one individual woman. She's 25 years old. And they showed a representation of what she ate on a daily basis. And it was a lot of alcohol and breads and muffins and just really junk. But they said she'd only was eating about 330 extra calories a day. And then they did that calculation, and it was really amazing how much that added up to in a year.
That's right. They calculated that it would be 34 pounds in a year if you only ate 330 extra calories. And what they showed was just a handful of potato chips and a latte is about 330 calories. You got to think, 34 pounds a year in 3 years, that's 100 pounds overweight. But you know, another thing you can think about, if you only eat 330 calories less than what you're eating right now to maintain your weight, you can lose 100 pounds in 3 years. And people think that's such a hard thing to do. If you take it off the same way you put it on, you don't really notice it. And you know, an extra 100 pounds on someone, they were also talking about morbid obesity. And anyone who puts on 100 pounds would be in that morbid obesity category. And that is 9 to 13 years less life expectancy for the average person. And that's more than a decade less. That's, you know, if you have grandkids, that's a decade less. You might not see them graduate high school. That's a huge, huge difference.
It's not just the end of your life that's going to affect here, being morbidly obese. You could also get diabetes. They say obese men are 5 times more likely to get diabetes, and women are 13 times more likely to get diabetes if you're obese.
And speaking of diabetes, I found this really interesting. They had a dietitian on, and I'm kind of loosely quoting, but she said, losing weight too fast can also trigger diabetes to develop in its own right. People always talk about if you eat too much, you can get diabetes, but I guess losing weight on crash diets over and over again can also have an impact.
And there was another little tidbit that this dietitian mentioned. It was about chewing your food. Now, we all know that we eat a lot more processed foods than we did in the past, and that's a big part of this program. But there's a reason for that. The lack of chewing could be telling our bodies that we are not full.
Because processed foods really have done a lot of the digestion for you. You don't need to chew that much, and you don't have to digest as much.
We're told about chewing your food 20 times before you swallow. The reason being is that...
Would you like me to do skull action?
You can do skull action. You'll find that we've got little stretch receptors in your jaw. If you look from
right.
the side...
Right, like these, so they'd be around here, would they, like the springs?
Yes, so the more you open your jaw and shut, the more you chew, it actually sends a little signal back to the part of your brain that acknowledges that you're full.
Ah, okay. So basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, because a lot of the food we eat these days is portable and it's been minced and you don't have to chew it that much, it's quite soft food, isn't it? Pappy food. We're sort of eating it and swallowing it.
Absolutely.
And your brain isn't realizing that you're full when it is full.
So the bad news does not end on processed foods. They are stuffed with salt. And why are they stuffed with salt? Well, because they need to add flavor. They're taking out the meat, say, in these sausages that they mentioned in the beginning of the show, and they need to replace that flavor, so they're doing it with a lot of salt.
And then when they add salt, they also need to balance things out, so they add a lot more sugar. The thing that really surprised me last week, I looked up some things for McDonald's. I was just looking up calories, and I was looking at the salt content of, I think it was just an Egg McMuffin. And then I'm realizing the bun has a lot of sugar and a lot of salt right in the bun itself. But that is typical fast food, and that's typical processed food.
Yeah, so let's listen to an example here. Jamie's going to make a tomato sauce for us, and he's going to make it taste really good.
I just want to show you again, if we're a bit more aware, we can make better choices. So in here, Saqib, I've cooked you up a tomato sauce here, just like one of the commercial ones. Try that with your finger, big boy. It's hot. That's a basic tomato sauce. Okay, you like that? Okay, in that I've put 6 teaspoons of salt. Now that's enough tomato sauce there for about 4 people. If that pizza's anything to go by, you can lose salt in products if you balance it with sugar. Look at that. That's 6 teaspoons of salt and about triple the amount of sugar. Now, you've seen me lose ridiculous amounts of salt and sugar, and he could even hardly taste it.
So yeah, that was 6 teaspoons of salt and 18, 3 times as much sugar. That is just a bunch of extra things that you don't need to put in your body, only because they're trying to cover up for that lack of good quality food in these products they're selling us.
And of course, because this is television, they're trying to make everything visual. And one thing they do is they take a slightly obese man, an obese guy, and a morbidly obese man, and they put them on the treadmill to test their VO2 max to see their lung capacity and how fit they actually are. Now, I do think that they chose these people kind of on purpose to prove a point, because the person who had the worst was actually the person who looked the most fit. And this is a person who didn't look overweight at all, you know, just from his outward appearance, but he was in very, very poor shape. And now after this test, they took two people, one obese guy and the guy who was just barely slightly overweight, and they did an MRI scan on them to see, you know, how much fat do they really have. And the person who was in the obese category, he actually ended up only having 15% body fat. He was a large guy, but he was very muscular underneath the fat. And the person who was looking very close to being regular weight or not overweight at all, he had hardly any muscle and quite a lot of fat internally all throughout his body. So he was what we'd call one of those skinny fat people. So the skinny guy actually had a higher body fat percentage and was much more unhealthy than the obese guy.
Yeah, I think it was, I think his body fat was 39% compared to the 15% from the, for the obese individual. And, you know, it just shows that that BMI scale, if that is your base for saying, you know, I'm overweight or not, you really need to get your body fat checked and not rely on this, you know, real simple calculation to tell whether, in fact, you are overweight or obese.
Well, that's right. And the person who was obese, he was a rugby player, and he wasn't just an average person who's a non-athlete. He had worked hard over years to build up that muscle. I don't know if you, have you ever played rugby, Russ?
No, I played football, but you know, that's as close as I'm going to get.
See, football is kind of a girly sport compared to rugby.
Ah.
I'll have to tell you, when I was in university, and I was, you know, a phys ed major, so I took a rugby class, and we had 20 people in the class, and five of them were international students from the UK. And one of the last days of the course, they had five students against 15. And these five rugby players, now they played at high levels, they kicked our butts so bad. And these were guys that were not afraid to run at you as fast as any football player would run at you without any equipment and take you down. So I have a lot of respect for rugby players. And this guy here obviously wanted size, he wanted weight, and he wanted to be strong. So for his sport, he was an athlete. He was the size and the muscle that he needed to be. But of course, he was just the exception. I know we have a lot of listeners who say, well, I'm overweight, but I'm really muscular. Well, you don't really get really muscular without putting a lot of effort in. But anyways.
Then there was the third individual. He's the morbidly obese man. And they checked him in the MRI as well. And they found out he had 50% body fat. And it's funny that on that VO2 max test, he actually didn't do the worst. His heart and lungs were probably in pretty good shape. Yeah, he was 50% fat. And looking at a cross-section of his body, they were comparing livers. And the individual, that rugby player, had a fairly, really healthy liver. The slightly overweight man, he was only 23 years old. And he had elevated fat in his liver. But that morbidly obese man, his liver was almost 50% fat. He was 50% water, 50% fat. He had a very, very unhealthy liver. And that, they said, will lead to cirrhosis of the liver, which is going to lead to his death.
That's right. And at the very end of the show, they actually take a 350-pound man who's a cadaver, and they dissect him right on TV there to show you what it looks like on the inside from someone who is that obese. And 350 pounds. Russ, you were only 50 pounds off that.
Yeah, that's scary. And I recall exactly what the morbidly obese threshold is, but I don't even want to think about how close I was or even over that at this point.
Well, I'm just going to take a quote from the show, and they said they're going to dissect this cadaver to show all of the miseries that this guy lived through because of his obesity, which ultimately led to his death. And he would have been suffering for years because of all the strain on his joints, and they're talking about his lungs, how he could not breathe properly because all the fat was crushing into his lungs. His diaphragm was being crushed upwards into his lungs because of all the fat in his belly. And it just looked painful when they're showing his internal organs and all of the crushing weight that was being pushed against all of those organs.
Yeah, I have to say the most striking thing that I saw was where his lungs were. They were literally up around his, in his chest, like, you know, right below his neck. I mean, they were pushed so high because of all the fat that was in his abdomen that I don't know, it was hard to believe that this guy could even breathe at all. Where his diaphragm was pushing on his lungs, and they mentioned this in the show, that he probably couldn't do anything of any kind of physical activity without gasping for breath.
I always thought that a lot of the problem with overweight people who are really overweight have the problem of breathing just because they're carrying around hundreds of excess pounds, and that's so hard for the average person to do. But really, it's also because their lungs are being crushed down as well, so it makes it doubly hard for them to have an enjoyable life simply because they're in pain and hard of breath, and it's really not a good thing to see. And I think if anyone is even close to this weight, even 50 pounds overweight, you should check this out and take a look at what is happening to your body and just how hard it is on your body to keep up with that excess weight.
Yeah, never mind the dead tissue in the man's leg from diabetes or the fact that his heart was just riddled with fat. I mean, it looked like it was made of all fat. I don't know how that thing was pumping any blood at all. But if you don't watch any other part of it, watch the last section about the dissection, because I mean, it's all worth watching. That's why we're doing this show today. But the dissection, I mean, literally how they just peel the man's front side off in just one giant layer of fat, is just, it's a visual you have to see.
So I guess the part of this feature section was to tell you some of the things that jumped out at us and some of the points that we found really interesting and that really hit home with us. But also, we'd really encourage people to take a look at this. It's free. It's on YouTube. You can watch all 8 parts and go through. And this just might be the motivation, that last thing that might keep you on track, just because you can look at this and say, I never want this to happen to me. And it does offer some tips and advice how to make some small changes and not kill yourself from eating. All right, so Russ, what do you have for a recipe this week?
I don't have one or two, but I have 3 recipes. And actually, one is a whole Thanksgiving dinner. With Thanksgiving come up here in the United States, I've got a great spiced pumpkin cookie recipe. I've also got this interesting one for the squash risotto with zucchini and chicken. That squash and being in fall and such has really got my eye. And then just today, there's this article over on Spark People that showed a 500 calorie Thanksgiving. And that was the one that really caught my eye. 500 calories for Thanksgiving. And they compare that to a traditional Thanksgiving dinner at about 1,000 calories. So they shaved half the calories off that. So check out any one of those. If you're going to only do one, though, check out the spiced pumpkin cookies. I made those and they are delicious. So many recipes this week.
Well, they all look really good, Russ.
All right, Jeff. Well, what is our homework for the week?
Well, the homework section every week, I try and give people one little tidbit of something they can do that will have an impact on their health and their weight loss. And in reality, the only homework that I could really come up with that could be really important, especially this week, is just to watch that 8-part video that we've been talking about called Eat to Save Your Life. So check out the show notes at fattofitradio.com or just go to YouTube and search Eat to Save Your Life. It's 8 parts, and I think that's going to have a real impact on everyone. I think everyone can pick up at least 1 or 2 tidbits of information and just a little bit of motivation.
That's good homework. All right, Jeff, what is our quote to leave everybody with today?
The quote this week comes from Aristotle, and he said, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit."
Very good, very good. Thank you, everyone, for listening today, and thank you for downloading this show. Really appreciate it. And all the show notes will be over at the website fat2fitradio.com. Look for show number 80, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.